Is this on? There we go. Hey, good morning. That's better.
Morning.
So just, you know, for my own knowledge, who loved the snow this week?
Woo!
We got 2 snow days out of it. So welcome to winter. I guess we don't get 6 or 8 inches anymore. We get 2 or 3 feet. That's just the way we roll now. I guess that's the new norm. But as I say that, I have to give a shout out to Greg Niver and his team for clearing everything and getting everything situated. They were here pretty much nonstop until everything was ready. So, you know, those guys who are out there in the parking lots doing their thing, without them and their efforts, we wouldn't be here today. So just keep them in mind and pray for the team who's always out there working so hard. And then there's something that you're definitely not aware of. Wednesday afternoon, we had a major technology crash. Everything in here went brrr. So our teams were here all day Thursday, all day Friday, and all day yesterday, rebuilding things to get it ready for this morning. Through driving bands and everything, they were here. Right? And I didn't know about it until this morning, so I was just chilling at home. They're doing their thing, so I guess that's why you have a good team around you, right? So you just know that it happens. But I want to start off by asking a question. And if you'll notice, I'm asking it with a bit of sarcasm, as is my nature. But let me ask this question. How many of you have a perfect relationship? Go ahead, raise your hand. Oh, not want to. Okay, Jay, let me explain what I mean. How many of you have your very best friend? You've been friends since you were 1.5 years old. You have walked through every stage of life, through everything, until you where you are today, and they have never let you down. They've never said anything to make you angry. They are just sweet as pie the whole time. Now, do you have that friend? Okay, let me try again. I have another one. This one will work. How many of you have perfect relationships in your workplace?
Oh, is it?
I love the groan. I don't need to go any further, do I? Every time you go to work, it's like sunshine and Skittles. You can't wait to be around your coworkers. There's everybody you work with. They have your back. You have their back. You walk in the place and it's perfect. Is that your story? All right, let me try another one. I'm on a roll here. In your dating relationships. Oh, wow, that one hit right away. Sarah, thank you for the support. Everything about the person you're dating, man, they walk on water. They've got it all together. They can't do any wrong. And you look at them and, you know, Jesus is here and then they're right here. Do you have that?
Yeah.
All right, that's a harder one too, right? I get it. Let me try this. Spouses. You have a marriage with your husband or wife where you've never fought, not a day, but a second in your relationship. You go about life every day as if everything's perfect and everything's hunky-dory. That's many of you who are married, right? Let me say this, because you sense my sarcasm. Perfect relationships don't exist. You know why? Because we live in a sinful world, and all people have this sin nature that is in us that really even pollutes our relationships, the core relationships that we rely on day in and day out. There, everybody in your life will let you down at one point or another. It's just the way it is. They don't intend to. It's not their desire. But lo and behold, that happens more often than maybe we like to admit. The truth is, we'd have to live our lives under a rock somewhere, separate from the world and all sin and everything that's going on, to have that perfect relationship. One of the privileges I have around here at Revive, that I really love this, is doing wedding ceremonies. Because in weddings, you get this young couple, they're all starry-eyed, right? They're all like, oh, nothing's ever going to go wrong. And one line I use, or one section I use in every wedding I do, is this. This marriage, like every marriage, will go through the fire. attacks from within the home and from outside the home are sure to put your pledge of love to the test. It's only by remaining faithful to each other and following God in his ways that we can pass these tests and shine like the gold that our rings are made of today. Every relationship, every marriage, everyone you interact with, there will be challenges at some days because there's no perfect relationships. Sorry to burst your bubble this Christmas season. All of this to say, the challenges that come are normal. They're ordinary. It happens. It's part of who we are. It's part of the story of what makes us human. And what we're going to talk about today is really foundational for our understanding of relationships. And we're going to look at Mary and Joseph's surprise as their relationship was perfectly normal. Not really. We're going to look at Mary and Joseph today and how they navigated it. Because it's how we navigate these challenges that can turn an ordinary relationship into something extraordinary. I don't want your relationships to be ordinary. I want them to be extraordinary. As you deal with the challenges that come in every relationship, the challenges of life, as followers of Jesus, our relationships should not be ordinary. They should be filled with the very presence of God and the Holy Spirit and be something just totally extraordinary. This is our third week of our Advent series we're calling Extraordinary. Week one, we looked at your work environment and how you can transform what you work to be something extraordinary. Last week, we talked about ordinary people from ordinary places. When the presence of the Holy Spirit is in them, they can be extraordinary. You can be extraordinary by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, when I look at Mary and Joseph, it's always interesting that God chose what is a very ordinary couple to be the mother and then the stepfather, I guess you could say, of Jesus. A very ordinary Jewish couple who was supposed to be married. They were heading down that process just like every other young couple in Jerusalem or in Israel at that time. They were heading down this path to marriage like so many of us have done. When in the middle of this journey towards their wedding day, she became pregnant. Now, if I were God, and I'm not, but if I were God, I would have not selected an ordinary, everyday couple to be the parents of Jesus. I would have selected royalty. That Jesus would have come from royalty, and thus everybody would have understood that he's a king because he's in the royal line. That's what I would have done. I would have selected a wealthy couple at the top of society so everybody would look at their baby and say, wow, look at this Jesus. But God didn't do that. He didn't even select a married couple. He selected this young, insignificant couple who was engaged to be the parents of the Savior. What we're going to look at today is how Mary and Joseph navigated this. How did they do it? What happened in their lives that they were able to take the situation that was so ridiculous and so painful, had the potential to be a disaster, and how it turned into one of the most beautiful stories that we've ever heard that we celebrate every year at Christmas? We're going to look at Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If you want to use your Bible app, I'll trust you're not texting anybody. Or you can follow along on the screens also. But this is what Matthew says in his gospel about the birth of Jesus. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, we'll talk about that in a moment, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And to the son, they gave him the name Jesus. This is an incredible story that if we pass over and just think we understand it, we're mistaken. You see, Mary and Joseph were very normal people. Joseph was a carpenter. He wasn't anything special. Mary was just a young Jewish woman, and in some faith traditions, we hold her up to be this greater than she is, but the reality is she's just a normal person who ended up having many children after Jesus. He was first of maybe 7 or 8. And as the story continues, Joseph is faced with this incredible challenge. They're not married yet. She's pregnant. And in their culture, what that meant for somebody who committed adultery, because Joseph knew he didn't sleep with her, so somebody must have. In their culture, this meant that they would take Mary out into the streets, pick up rocks and throw them at her until she was dead. They would stone her. Joseph knew the consequences for being pregnant outside the confines of marriage. He saw it and knew it. And that's why the Lord said he chose to divorce her quietly, because he was an upstanding gentleman. Jesus' birth was incredibly complicated. And in the story of Mary and Joseph, their relationship is at the center of all that is happening in this moment. And they have some big decisions to make, decisions that will impact all of history, if you think about it. Because ordinary equals predictable. The ordinary reaction for Joseph was exactly what he was thinking, to divorce her, to move on, to do something different because she was with child. The ordinary thing in that culture, like I just mentioned, would be to stone Mary. To kill her. That would be what was ordinary or predictable. How about you? When faced with challenges in any of your relationships, let's say you're at work tomorrow morning and people are gossiping. And I know gossip is just insidious. It's ugly. It's awful. When you see or experience gossip, do you jump in? Do you do the ordinary, predictable thing? Or maybe you don't jump in, but you just go to your desk or go away and don't say anything, and you just sort of skirt around it and do what you were going to do anyway. Or let's say you have a friend, that best friend I was talking about a moment ago. And for some reason, this friend complains incessantly about the relationships they're in, the friendships they're in, and how everybody's doing them wrong. Maybe you listen to this person all the time, and they never think to look at themselves and think they might be the problem. And instead of pointing out that they may have an issue, a deeper issue they need to deal with, you agree with them and encourage them and say, "Oh, yeah, that's really hard." Or maybe it's not even that. Maybe it's when you get into this marital relationship, and let's say, this is really hard. let's say one spouse, either the husband or the wife, sins radically against the other, maybe through adultery, maybe through pornography, maybe they do something that is so insidious and it just drives you to the point of breaking and you kick them to the curb. That would be the ordinary or predictable thing to do. That's what society says to do. But let me ask you this. As followers of Jesus, and like we spoke about last week, who have the Holy Spirit living in us, should we be engaged in the ordinary and predictable? Should that be who we are? Should we act like everybody else in the world because we're human and disregard our faith and say, you know what, I'm going to gossip because it feels good, I like it, or do you stand up and do something different because the very presence of God compels you to do so? Last week, I spent a lot of time talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how he changes us, but he also transforms our relationships. And as a follower of Jesus, we should be different than the world. Our words should not be cutting. Our actions shouldn't be questionable of whether they're legal or moral. Our very hearts should be different. Ordinary equals predictable, and the predictable behaviors in our world are not the marks of a follower of Jesus. The responses to those stressors, those relationships may be common, but they're definitely not helpful. So as we look at the story of Mary and Joseph, I think we have something wonderful to learn about our relationships and how we engage in the world. Because let me say, the Holy Spirit shifts the ordinary to the extraordinary. Ordinary to the extraordinary. Your relationships change from just being like everybody else's to being filled with the presence of God. Extraordinary. That has implications for every area of our lives. So, what does this look like for us? In the scriptures, Joseph went to sleep thinking he was going to divorce her quietly to sign the papers to be done because he knew. But in his slumber, as he was asleep, he saw an angel of the Lord. I've never had a dream where an angel of the Lord showed up to me in a dream. Maybe you have, but I don't think most people have. And in that dream, the angel spoke to Joseph and said, "Hey, knucklehead, don't do it the ordinary way. Stop the pattern that you think you're going to get them. Don't do it that way. I've got something better that I'm going to use this. It's going to be extraordinary. The Savior is going to be born. Don't mess this up, Joseph." Now you might be thinking, you know what? My life as a follower of Jesus, I've never had that. It's pretty boring. I hear this all the time as a pastor. And let me pull back the curtain a little bit. If anybody ever comes to me and says, you know, following Jesus really isn't doing it for me, you know what my answer is? You're probably not following Jesus. You know why? Because if you're truly following Jesus, every day is an adventure. As you open up the scriptures, it's not just reading a normal book. You're reading the very words, the God-inspired words of life. And as you do and have that understanding, it's not boring. It's extraordinary. It's life-giving. It's transformational. The story of Mary and Joseph leads us to understand that when God intervenes in the ordinary, it becomes extraordinary. When he intervenes in the ordinary things of life, they take on new meaning, new purpose, and they are Amazing. The angel tells Joseph exactly that. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they are to call him Emmanuel, which means, what does it mean?
God with us.
So process that for a moment. The angel says, this baby, it's actually going to be Emmanuel, or God with us, God in our neighborhood, God taking up residence in our world. This is going to change everything, Joseph. Don't screw it up. And this, just follow this out. Jesus was born.
Thank God he was born.
He lived a normal-ish life. He lived a sinless life, which is anything but normal. It was extraordinary. The Jewish leaders saw him, and they saw what he was teaching and heard what he was teaching. They became incredibly jealous, and time after time, they tried to get rid of him and kill him until eventually they did,
as he was nailed to a cross.
And he died, and for 3 days, he was in the tomb, and then he rose again. And he walked around with his followers for a period of time, and they couldn't believe their eyes.
And then he ascended into heaven. And on Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit to the world. Now let me play this out.
Emmanuel means God with us. When Jesus walked on this earth for roughly 33 years, he couldn't be with all people at all times, and he knew this to be true. So after he died, and after he sent and rose again, it died and rose and ascended and sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, this is so incredible. Don't ever miss this. The Holy Spirit can be with each and every one of us all the time. That's good news. And as the Holy Spirit lives in us, I talked about this last week, as he's present in our hearts, that should transform our relationships, and we should not be ordinary.
Because God is with us, Emmanuel. He was with us when Jesus was born. He's still with us as the presence of the Holy Spirit lives in you. Emmanuel is still with us every day.
The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
I'm blown away by that.
When I consider that reality and understand it to be true, it should change, and it has changed everything in me. So as the story continues, Joseph awakes from the dream and decides to continue with the relationship. He didn't divorce Mary, thank goodness. We see him trust the Lord, that the Lord's ways are always better than our ways. In a moment, we see the extraordinary is also unpredictable. The extraordinary is unpredictable because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. One of my favorite books that I read years ago, if you want to pick it up, it's called Wild Goose Chase by Mark Batterson. The first chapter of the book, he speaks about how the Holy Spirit is like a wild goose. I'm like, wild goose? How's the Spirit like a goose? And then he explains. He said, you try to catch a wild goose. Tell me how that goes for you. He said in the book, tell me how a wild goose moves and acts. He said, that's like the Holy Spirit. You can't predict where or when he's going to move or what he's going to do. He just does it. And you need to chase him everywhere and try to keep up with what he's doing in the world. Extraordinary equals unpredictable. And as followers of Jesus, our relationship should be unpredictable. The Holy Spirit gives us insight, wisdom, and discernment to change how we engage in relationships at work, in your high school, middle school, or college, wherever you're at, and in our marriages,
sir.
Because he is with
you.
How does this play out? Let's say there's gossip in your workplace or around the water cooler or wherever they stand as you walk in and they're talking about somebody and trashing an individual. And instead of jumping in or just walking by, maybe you stand up and say, you know what? You really don't understand the situation. You don't know what's going on there. And I don't think this makes a whole lot of sense for you to engage like that. Now, they may turn on you, but who cares?
Because as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't do the predictable. You live differently.
Or how about your best friend that's constantly complaining about how other people have wronged them and they do all these things. And instead of going along with it, you know, you stand up and you say, you know what? Sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire. Maybe the issue isn't with everybody else, but it's with you.
Saying this out of love. And help them to navigate what you just said and how they might change their behavior as it impacts all of their relationships. That's the loving thing to do. To help them grow through that situation and not stay in the middle of it.
Or if your spouse is struggling with, that's not even a struggle. If your spouse has been unfaithful or they have an addiction to something that is totally inappropriate for marriage or at all, instead of just kicking them to the curb, and I know it's so easy to do that, you do the unpredictable. You seek out counseling, you seek out help. And they may reject that, I understand, but at least you do the unpredictable and you try to salvage what is so hurt and broken. As the Holy Spirit lives in us, I think that's how he wants us to live. That as Christians, we are not swayed by the ways of the world, but our relationships look different. God is with us in our relationships each and every day. Now, this is the part of this that's so exciting. And in the 2 minutes and 47 seconds, the Holy Spirit shifts the ordinary into the extraordinary all the time. He works in us. Now, you might be saying, Paul, I've never had a dream with an angel. I wish I did, because that angel would make everything right. You don't have that, but you have something better.
You have the very presence of God that lives in your heart and guides all of your steps. You just have to be ready to listen and hear and understand what he's saying. You're not alone.
I have people say to me regularly, you don't understand the struggles of my life. Everybody's left me. This has gone to shambles. I don't know where to turn. Nobody cares. And in that moment, I can say, you're wrong.
Because the very presence of God is with you.
Amen.
No matter what the challenge, he is with you. You are never, ever, ever alone.
That reality has gotten me through some of the deepest, darkest parts of my life. I understand what it's like to feel all alone, to feel like people have turned on you, to feel like you don't know which end is up. And you know how I got through that? By praying, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. You work through me, through these relationships. You work through me because I have nowhere else to turn. We are never alone. But how do you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? I have a number of ways, but let me give you a couple. First, I believe you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in community. Christians who say, you know what? I don't need church. They're lying. They might think that, but their faith will never really grow. Christians who say, I don't need Christian community. I can do this by myself. That's garbage. I'm just calling it out. Because as you live that way, you're not experiencing the beauty of the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit speaks through other people all the time. I see it every week here. I'm going to throw out, guys, if you are not in community, I'm sorry, ladies, but this one's for the men. If you're not in community, we have something going on here on Tuesday nights at 6:30 or right outside those doors in 134. That's amazing. Every Tuesday night, we hear stories, and we've had times of repentance and confession where guys are confessing their sins to the whole group. Are you kidding me? We're laying hands on each other and praying for each other and encouraging each other. We hear stories of salvations regularly coming out of our Tuesday night men's ministry. So, I mean, guys, if you're looking for a place to connect, this Tuesday at 6:30, right out these doors, we'll be there. And I guarantee we're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit every time we meet. I see it. Do you know how else you hear the voice of the Spirit? Through the very Word of God. As you pour over the scriptures, as you let them sink deep into your hearts, this Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, I was in my men's group. I was talking about some of the things that are happening. It was a beautiful experience. And then this scripture, that's the wrong scripture, in Matthew 5 came to me. And you've heard it before. But I believe the Lord gave me these words as I was in community through the scripture for me and then us as a church. You are the light of the world. This is in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. That seems ridiculous. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to me, and I believe us as a church, and I got it through the words of Scripture. That we are to let our light shine to the world, to in and through our relationships, to not hide our faith, to not put it on our bowl, to not cover it or make sure people didn't see it, but to shine bright for the world to see. That happens through the context of relationship. And I actually had my men's group, and then we have a prayer time that we're doing Monday through Thursday from 8 to 9. If you're driving by and you want to stop in, we're in the prayer room. You're welcome to come every day, Monday through Thursday, not every day, Monday through Thursday, where I sensed and confirmed those words with the people who were in that prayer time, and then they were confirmed again, and I believe that's how I heard the Spirit speak to me and to us as a church. God is with us in our relationships each and every day, everywhere we go. And to complete the thought from the beginning, there might not be any perfect relationship, but through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can act differently in the relationships we do have. We carry the presence of God with us. God is in you. If that doesn't strike an emotional chord in you, even as I say that, I'm overcome by the reality of what that means. God is in us. He's in you. He's in me. One more thing. This Christmas season, especially Christmas Eve, Cable mentioned those invite cards. I encourage you to take one, two, or five, or whatever, and invite people. Don't care about what they're going to say, because you're inviting them to hear the very words of life that can transform their hearts. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. I could argue it's the loving thing to do, because you're inviting them in to know who your Jesus is. Yes. Father, we thank you for this morning, this chance to be together,
Holy Spirit, I pray that you would transform our relationships as you are present in us, that we would not act or react like people in the world, but we would act differently because we have the very presence, your very presence living in us. We have God in us. Help us never to forget that. God, we love you. I thank you for this reality. And I'm overcome by your presence. Pray these things in Jesus' name. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.